Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15. The first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15. Part of this chapter was before us last week. We shall be looking at other sections of it this evening, God willing, in connection with our Genesis study. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. May God bless his sacred truth to all our hearts. We turn now to our chapter in the book of Genesis. That chapter 23, which is before us in our study. Genesis 23. I'm just reading one verse this evening, which will be the basis of our sermon. Indeed, we did look at the first part of this last week. Genesis 23 and verse 4. I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. A fortnight ago, as we moved into this chapter, I commenced to deal with the sanctity of death, a thing which is fundamentally spiritual, whichever way you approach it. And we also went into the question of mourning, its spirituality. It is of God. Whereas Stoicism is of the devil. And then last week we began to look at Abraham's request for a burying place. For, said he, I want to bury my dead. My dead. There was on the part of Abraham a reverence and a holy respect for the dead. Not just his beloved Sarah, but others of his family too. My dead. It is the faith line in view here. Why such meticulous care over the body? And this I sought to bring home from the Word of God last time. Its sanctity. And we went into some little detail of the heresy of Gnosticism. Those who look upon the body as a prison of the soul and spirit, from which the real person is released at death. This is a blasphemous belief, as I trust we all learned from the previous sermon. I must recap no further upon it, but come to this evening's message, which I announced last time would be Christian burial. I am a stranger and a sojourner with you, says Abraham. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Again I say, bury my dead. It's the faith line in view. Abraham was not concerning himself with the funeral arrangements of the Canaanites around him, but he was very concerned with the procedure relative to his own family. Brethren and sisters, let me emphasize at this point, and may every one of us give due heed to this fact, that all true believers are the children of Abraham. Abraham is talking of his dead, the faith line, and he is the father of all that believe, and the father of the faithful is here giving counsel, setting precedent. So this is a family matter. And this ruling, this instruction given here in Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, as we have seen in abundant measure over the last 2 years that we have been studying it. It's the book of beginnings. And here this ruling sets the precedent for the whole family of faith. And that precedent is reverent, well-ordered Christian burial. Now in this sermon I shall not be advocating pompous processions or elaborate ceremony, for this is not of God. What is more, it is completely out of character for the nature of such an occasion. But I am contending from Holy Scripture for reverent, orderly Christian burial, marked by due mourning and solemnity. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Now this phrase, bury my dead out of my sight, does not mean out of sight, out of mind. It does not convey the thought of, let's get it over as soon as possible. No, no. The Holy Spirit is emphasizing the fact of burial. Leopold, in his exposition and commentary upon the book of Genesis, states that this is an expressive description of true burial. And an expressive description of true burial. Present-day society would contend that the dead can be put out of sight by a more convenient and hygienic means, that of cremation. And many Christians have latched on to this. They will argue that it will make no difference at the resurrection of the last day. This, of course, is perfectly true. Perfectly true. The God of heaven will raise ashes as well as earth. Likewise also, those who have decomposed in the ocean depths, or those who have been fed to wild beasts in days of great persecution, such as that of Nero and others. It makes no difference. These things pose no problem to Almighty God. None whatsoever. What does the Spirit of God say through Luke in the book of Acts, chapter 24 and verse 15? There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. There shall be. The shadow of doubt about this. The thing was confirmed to John in the revelation given to him. And in chapter 20 and verse 12, John was given a preview of the whole thing. And he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. Every member of the human race, great and small, from every nation, of every age, will be raised at the great day, will appear before their Creator in the self-same body in which they lived upon earth. So I say again, we are not contending for resurrection. That looks after itself, all right. Make no mistake. We are not contending for resurrection. That is sure. That is certain. That is inescapable, regardless of how the body is disposed of. Or whether a man dies in his sins, or whether he dies a true child of God. That makes no difference. The resurrection will be of the just and the unjust. So we're not talking of resurrection. Then surely, many will say, if resurrection is sure and certain and inescapable, what difference does it make? Surely cremation and burial are options. It's a matter of personal choice. Now, I do not wish to wound anyone's feelings in such a sensitive area. For no doubt, all of us have had relatives or friends who have been cremated. Yet I have to be, beloved, I have to be, indeed, by God's grace, I will be true to his word. And this must be stated, that cremation for a Christian, for a child of God, is foreign to the scriptures. Indeed, it cuts right across every precedent, example, type, or analogy in the word of God. It cuts right across. The Bible speaks of Christian burial, not Christian cremation. And what is more, cremation is not Christian. I emphasize that with all the powers at my command. Cremation is not Christian. It is pagan in origin. Now, it was a widespread practice throughout the heathen world. Let none think that it's an innovation of the 20th century. It was a widespread practice throughout the heathen world. The Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, in the great majority of cases, had the bodies of their dead burnt. That is according to William Ramsay and Sir William Smith, noted historians and men of repute. Indeed, this practice can be traced right back to early civilization, and just as heathen religions find their origins in Babel, so do these rites and customs. Now, having come through the book of Genesis and early civilization, this background stands us in good stead. Let your minds go back to that series on the Tower of Babel. And at Babel, God scattered the people. And to the four corners of the earth they went. And wherever they settled, they multiplied. And there they developed their languages, their customs, their culture, their religion. Buddhists, Hindus, they have their pyre or funeral pile, which is nothing more than a heap of combustible material upon which they can burn a body. They've always had them, they still got them. These religions, with their practices, all stem from Babel. Nothing new under the sun. Going back into the Old Testament again, the children of Abraham, Israel, the Jews, they were God's earthly people. They too were typical of his spiritual people. None of us are in any doubt regarding this, having come as far as we have with the covenants. The children of Abraham, Israel, the Jews, God's earthly people, they were typical of the spiritual people. And Scripture tells us in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 40, that the manner of the Jews was to bury, not burn. Here's the people of God. Here's the children of Abraham. And the manner of the Jews was to bury. That is the order. That is the procedure for the Christian. The manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, Christ himself was the head of the body, the spiritual head of his people. And the spiritual head was buried after the manner of the Jews. Each writer in his gospel lays great emphasis upon this. Indeed, the Holy Spirit inspired them to go into much detail concerning the burial. Tremendous detail given by all four writers of the gospel to the burial. It's after the manner of the Jews, says the Spirit of God. Note that. Would it not be inconceivable to think of the eternal God ordaining the human body of our blessed Savior to be burnt? He's the head of the spiritual people. He was the president. No, he was buried. He was buried. Great emphasis given to it. And the early church. And we are coming away now from the Jews. The early church, after the day of Pentecost, message of salvation extended to all mankind. The true people of God, the spiritual Israel, coming into view in a fuller measure. The Jews in large measure now set aside. The early church, although they were Gentiles, although they were pagan, although their background and custom was totally different to that of the Jews, the early church continued in the Jewish practice. Although the Romans were in power and burning the dead was prevalent, the Christians objected. They felt that the head, having been buried after the manner of the Jews, in this a precedent had been set for all the members, for all the members. Is not this so? If a believer is to be one day in the likeness of his resurrection, is it not right and proper that we should be like him in his burial? Such was the thinking of early New Testament Christians. To them, burial was Christian. Burning certainly was not. Hence we read in verse 12 of the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. This was Christian burial. This was Christian burial. Devout men, faced with this great spiritual monster, death, carried him reverently, carried the honorable man to the place of burial. And there was also mourning, great lamentation. Is the phraseology of the Spirit of God. Great lamentation. It was not a private affair. No, no. It was a big funeral. The believers were present in large numbers to publicly show their sorrow and to identify and to pay respect to an honored servant of Christ and his church. This, brethren and sisters, is biblical. I say again, this is biblical practice. This is Christian custom. And it is to be our practice. It is to be our practice. It is not right to say, as do so many today, oh, I cannot be bothered. I cannot be bothered. Or we cannot do any good by going. One's often heard it, you know. It is to our shame. In any case, people don't bother about funerals today. True, many do not. So is dying out a tradition and a holy reverence for death and for the dead, which is biblical and spiritual in its origin. To come back to the matter of cremation and to expand upon it further. Fire in the Word of God is always associated with sin and judgment. The sacrificial victims of the sin and trespass offerings, those victims were charged with the sins of the people as the priest would lay his hands upon the animal's head. And when the sins of the people were transferred in that symbolic way to that animal was destined to fire and to judgment immediately. No hope for it. That animal was charged with sin. And the victim would then be slain and the carcass burnt. Fourth chapter of the book of Leviticus, chapter 12. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. Leviticus 6, verse 30. And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile with all in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. Do you not see the link of sin and fire? The victim consumed because of the sins of the people which had been laid upon it. Come now to the scene of the worshipping of the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai whilst Moses was in the mount with God on behalf of the people. And whilst he was there, we know what happened. And in Exodus 32, verse 19, we read, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables of stone out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder. In Deuteronomy, the theme is followed up, chapter 7 and verse 5. It's the theme of idolatry before us now. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 5. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. The link of idolatry with fire. Genesis 38 and verse 24. We are coming now to the sins of harlotry and whoredom. In Genesis 38, verse 24, it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth. Let her be burnt. Leviticus 21, in verse 9. And the daughters of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father. She shall be burnt with fire. And our God is the eternal, immutable, unalterable. Perish the teaching that the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New. His standards, his law, precisely the same today. And uncleanness and harlotry is to be judged by fire. We come over to the New Testament. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing, gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Luke 16, verse 24. The rich man in hell. And he cries and says, Father Abraham. Father Abraham, the father of the faithful. Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame, the link of sin with the fires of hell, all coming from the lips of Christ, the head of the church himself. Can any right-thinking Christian ever think of fire as a means of disposing of their body? I say, can they ever think of it? To me, it's beyond the bounds of reason. A body which has been redeemed. A body which is Christ's. Is not fire this symbol of judgment a most terrible means for the disposing of a body which has been pardoned and justified, and upon whom God has pronounced there is not even a smell of sin? For such to choose to go by way of a crematorium. The imputed righteousness of Christ is upon that person. The imputed righteousness of Christ. And as we were seeing last week, when we saw the sanctity of the body, that imputed righteousness is not upon man's spirit or upon man's soul. It is upon the whole personality as God created him, body, soul, and spirit. And the imputed righteousness is upon man entire. Oh, how ill-informed are so many of God's people today. I say, what an account. What an account so many elders and ministers and pastors will have to render to the Almighty God. In this, as in so many other areas of teaching, there is a guilty silence in the pulpit. The ministers of God's word will not stand by all the counsel of God. There is not a single instance in either Old Testament or New Testament of any of the Lord's people being cremated. Then why do so many say, it makes no difference? The Spirit of God says through Jeremiah the prophet, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Learn not the way of the heathen. You're not to copy them in anything. And having seen cremation to be pagan as to its origin, and sin and judgment inseparably linked with fire in the scriptures, then it should be crystal clear to every one of us. Let us for a few moments now look at the way in which burial is viewed in the Word of God. Genesis 3 and verse 19. The Almighty God, the Creator, speaking to Adam, his creature. And in Genesis 3 and verse 19, the latter part of the verse, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Burial of the body. What is it? The Spirit of God through the psalmist in Psalm 146 and verse 4 says, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. when man's breath goes forth and he breathed his last, the God-ordained pattern is that he returns to his earth. His earth. That's the wording of Scripture. He returns to his earth. Not the earth. His earth. A return to its basic elements, formed out of the ground. A return to its basic elements. And beloved, there's nothing foreign in this. There's nothing alien. There's nothing incongruous in this. Man returneth to his earth. What did we read this evening? It is sown in corruption, to be raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, to be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, to be raised in power. It is sown a natural body, to be raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. It is sown. I say nothing incongruous, nothing alien, nothing foreign, a sowing. And every believer's grave is a seed bed. As seeds are sown in the soil and buried, so they spring up into new life. And thus it is with every child of God. The natural body is laid in the grave, it is covered over with soil, man's native dust, his earth. But it is sown, and that corruptible must put on immortality. Must. No question of sowing a seed which will never germinate. That body sown must put on incorruption. As it hath borne the image of the earthy, so also it shall bear the image of the heavenly. The grave is the seed bed from whence will spring immortality. No heathen funeral pile or modern sophisticated crematorium sets forth this analogy. What man has ever grown a crop by casting seeds into an incinerator? In sowing, a future is set forth and anticipated, whereas burning is terminal. It sets forth destruction. It's an analogy of judgment. Lost. Such as those in the fires of hell. Lost. No, I say again, cremation is pagan. Burial is Christian. It is biblical. It is spiritual. Abraham said, give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead. Bury my dead. Out of my sight, cover them over with Sarah's native earth, ensure in certain hope that as it has borne the image of the earthy, it shall bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, I want just a plot, says this great man of faith. I want just a plot where I can bury my beloved Sarah. She is to be covered over in the soil. Her natural body is to be sown. For one day, she is to spring up with all my dead. All the children of Abraham, the children of faith, shall spring up with all my dead into endless, glorified humanity. Endless, glorified humanity. I say, beloved, with that prospect. With this before us, she will spring up with all thy dead. I say, what seed is lying in the soil of this planet? And what a harvest is one day to spring up in a moment at the last trump. Sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. May God richly bless his word thus preached for his glory. Amen. Hymn number 809. Hymn number 809. Forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. Life from the dead is in that word. 'Tis immortality, that resurrection word, that shout of victory. Once more, forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. 809.
Stand, fight, and die.